should do it.
We're at Park Hill.
That's my flat there.
Wait, you live at Park Hill? We're just up there.
And I've got mobile signal again. But no messages.
But to be fair, it's only half an hour since you left.
What, half an hour since we were with you in that warehouse?
Yeah. Wow. So,
I suppose this is it.
Yeah, I suppose it is.
Got you back. Guess we're done. Nice having you aboard.
Thanks, Doc. It's been a blast, truly.
Pleasure. What are you going to do now? Oh, you know, back in the box. There's loads to see. By yourself? Yeah, I suppose. Do you want to come for tea at mine?
Definitely.
Yes, I would. Thanks. I love tea. Tea at Yaz's, amazing. Are you coming? Are we all going for tea at Yaz's?
She didn't invite us.
Don't be daft. Of course you're invited.
All right, then.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to TARDIS Blend right here at geeksofdoom.com. I'm Greg Davies.
And I'm Team TARDIS Tom.
Yes, indeed. Team TARDIS Tom hanging out with us all here for Arachnids in the UK, one of the best episode titles I've ever come across. Obviously, a tip of the hat to the Sex Pistols, Anarchy in the UK, directed by Sally Abrahamian. I believe I'm pronouncing that correctly, and written by showrunner Chris Chibnall. And I got to say, Tom, there's nothing better than the Doctor saying how sorry she is to a giant spider, because it's the basis of the entire series.
Yeah. Yeah, it really was. And we'll get into this more later, but it was just nice to see kind of one of the things that I always loved about New Who, especially, is how often there would be a seemingly maniacal plot.
Yeah.
When in actuality it turned out, oh, you know what? Humanity's just really ugly.
Yeah. Well,
regular old human beings.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, spiders. I love them. I'm a bit of a spider-phile, Tom. I, what do you think of spiders?
I hate them.
You hate them?
I hate them so much.
My stepson, Jeff, hates them more than you. Like, if anybody posts anything on his Facebook, on his feed that has anything to do with spiders, he'll fucking block them, no matter who it is. Like, if I posted a spider, I'm his stepdad. He'd fucking block me. He's that terrified of him. Yeah.
Better than burning down your computer.
And he loves Doctor Who, so I need to give him the heads up on this to make sure that he's aware that this is coming down the line. I don't think he's up to this episode yet, but he'll get to it, and it's gonna fucking scare the shit out of him. But
I was impressed by the creepiness.
Yeah, it was. What do you think of the CGI?
It was good. It's better than we've had in the past. It sure beat the prosthetic or the rubber spider monsters that I feel like we've seen in the past, and weird fur.
Right.
I didn't think they did that bad. Honestly, it was easy to tune them out, which is, I think, good. Like, you're focusing on the action more than you're focusing on, hey, look, there's a fake spider chasing everyone around.
Yeah.
So I think it did its job. I thought it was really beautiful for like a TV show.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. So let's talk about our ratings. What are you going to give this episode?
It's going to be a 4 out of 5.
Same here. Absolutely. Yeah.
I wanted to give it a 5 because all of my big cons for the most part last episode were rectified in this episode. And yet it just didn't. It was a good episode. It was almost flawless in my opinion, but it didn't stand out enough.
Right. Let me tell you why it lost a point for me. It was really nice to have a bit more Yaz in this episode, but it was still not enough. I think you're right. We're not getting enough Yaz. Even when this episode thrust her to the forefront, we got a nice glimpse of her family and how she feels about him. We still got more stuff about Ryan and his family. I mean, I can excuse the Grace appearances because it feels that plays into the overall season, yeah, I think.
I thought that was tastefully done, too. Yeah. I like the way that they did that.
Yeah, it was lovely to see Sharon D. Clarke again.
You know what, now that we're talking about it, is, I was actually really satisfied with all of the parts. Yaz feels like a real character, not just someone that we kind of met in passing that first episode, but like a real character with parents that are... tugging at her, asking questions about, hey, you got a boyfriend yet? Which cracked me up. She feels more real, and I like the back and forth and how the companions kind of decided to go with the doctor. And I understand that these are all new characters, so you need to do that at the beginning, but I feel very much like all of this was done by sacrificing screen time and characterization for the doctor, whom we do know very well. But this is a new doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like she almost took a backseat this episode.
Interesting. I really didn't feel that way, but I could see your perspective because I have actually heard some of that criticism from fans online, like over at Gallifrey Base and so on. A lot of mixed reactions here, but...
How often do you realize when it's just the doctor alone by herself in any scene?
Well, she hasn't been really alone in any scene so far, as far as I'm aware.
We've seen other characters who have been.
Right. Yeah, but on the Yaz issue, I think even with last episode, I think I'm now with you, Tom. Even though we got a nice touch with this episode and they put her in the forefront, we're still not getting enough character development for her. I feel like she's being left behind.
This one kind of made good for me, but I do feel like why does the doctor still feel like more of a stranger than she should be at episode 4?
Mm.
I don't like that. We had that nice little piece in episode 2 where they talked about the child. What do they call it?
The timeless child.
The timeless child, which was unexplained, and they even dropped a tidbit, and I was like, oh, she doesn't even know. I really like that. It was nice to see some of those hanging plot threads that hopefully come back later on, even if it takes a season. I like those. This time, we got a little bit of it, but it just seemed like, well, the doctor was here because the doctor always has to be here. But she felt too much like a Captain Planet vibe. Does that make sense?
Sort of.
Like Captain, they have this entire cartoon, if you're not in the States and don't realize – Captain Planet, there's these five kids and they all have a ring that represents something. Captain Planet like doesn't even really show up until the end. He's got like really basic, you know exactly what he's going to say about everything. And that's how I felt with the Doctor as a character. Jodie Whittaker herself outshined because she always does, but I don't know. So maybe that's a big point off.
The other thing that I was really kind of, I wasn't too happy with was that the ending seemed rushed, I guess. I mean, I understand it was meant to be anticlimactic, but I honestly felt there was going to be more to the story after the mother spider was killed. That's just what it felt like to me on the first viewing.
You know, it's funny you said that, Greg, because like I had to rewind that because I thought that like I glanced at my phone and I was like, did I miss something huge? Nope. No, I didn't. I really didn't.
Right. The other thing I liked about this episode, I did a bit of research, and apparently Chris Chibnall had consulted with scientists about the behavior of spiders and how certain things they don't really like without killing them, and most of it sounded fairly accurate to me. Though I never knew about the vinegar and garlic trick. That one was new to me. That was pretty good. Now let's jump into the big elephant in the room. One of the things that the fans have been talking about quite a lot over the last few days, or last couple of days, has been the character of Robertson, a caricature of both Trump and big business owners.
I've been sacked.
What?
Mum, but you've just started.
I know.
They can't do that.
What happened? Who sabbed you?
I did.
Hands in the air, both of you.
As of right now, you're both trespassing upon my property.
Put the gun down, please, sir.
My hotel, my rules. You were fired. Yet instead of leaving, you bring someone else in.
She's my daughter, and she's given me a lift home.
Oh, how very moving.
Why'd you fire her?
I don't answer to you. What are you, 15? You should be in school. Your mother isn't supposed to be here. I told the staff to take 2 days off.
I came in to do extra preparation before we opened.
Well, I really don't care. Because if I hadn't fired you then, I would have fired you 10 minutes ago when I saw the rooms. Disgraceful.
What rooms? I don't understand.
I'm sure you don't understand. Would you like to see how good your mother really isn't?
Now, it was nicely played by Chris Noth, but the reactions from people was pretty much split down the middle as far as how that performance was. And we got the usual complaints from people going, oh, God, here we go, social justice warriors, anti-Republican, anti-gun, blah, blah, blah. You know.
Yeah, sure.
And no matter how much I try to explain to them, like, political aspects and social aspects of society.
They always do this.
They always come into Doctor Who. And it has nothing to do whether you're opposed to Trump or whether you're a supporter or whether you're indifferent. This performance was nicely done by Chris Noth, so much so I felt he has a potential for a reappearance at some time.
I thought that he was going to bite the big one. I really did, because I thought he did a really good job of kind of portraying. And if you're keen and you follow the news and picked up on this, is you've got not only were they making fun of Trump. This is more of a social commentary about the wealthiest individuals in our country deciding that they know what's best for us. But underneath all of everything, kind of metaphorically, look at all the secrets that they're hiding.
Right.
This guy had actually, Roberson, had said, there was that line about like, oh, you're only doing it because you hate Trump or something. And he's like, don't get me started. Or he says something under his breath. Well, and it's like, you know, that's kind of like a running theme or a running angle that various news organizations at various times have said, you know, the billionaire class, like people who've actually made their own money and are known for their business acumen, of which Donald Trump is criticized often for, they don't like him. So it was a good characterization that's like, it does exist. They didn't just like make that up. They like literally plucked it from what's happening, what's perceived to be happening right now.
Well, the other thing I really liked about it was the underlying message as far as politicians was concerned that I really liked is that every single politician has got dirt. Like, if you look at the presidents, it doesn't matter whether it's the Bushes or a Clinton or Obama or Trump. I guarantee you, you go back and look at their history, there's stuff in their past that people criticize as being, you know, bad or negative, you know. And that's the same as far as this character Robertson is concerned. But the other thing about the performance is that these people seem to have something of an indifference to that. Like they think they can get rid of the stories to, you know, make their optics look better, if you will. And that was
businessmen.
Yeah, and that was prevalent in this episode, and I felt that that was a nice kind of advanced subtext message that was in there. Although the good thing about it is it wasn't overpowering that part of the story. Although obviously Robertson was, you know, front and center. I mean, you might as well have called him Trump, but Trump wouldn't have stuck around. He would have run away.
Honestly, he kind of came off, I don't know if this lines up with the politics, but he kind of came off more like an angry Bezos / Bloomberg composite.
Yeah, kind
of. Like guys that have a lot of strong opinions that really only get real and say some shit if you're in close quarters with them.
Right. Right.
But are not like, they don't freak out and try to go backwards and like, you know, hash over everything. They just sort of move on
mm-hmm.
in a really ornery, prickly way.
I got to say, I mean, I've gone through most of my notes already. This was just a fun episode. I mean, it wasn't perfect. We've given it 8 out of 10, which is nothing to sneeze at, by the way. I mean,
no, I thought this was a great episode.
Anything over 8 out of 10 is usually, you know, a fairly excellent episode in our eyes. And, you know, it was a fun standalone episode. And I'm really looking forward to the next one, which had a very intriguing trailer. Did you see it?
Yeah. I only saw the short one. I need to go back online and rewatch it on the BBC America YouTube.
Do you know what it reminded me of?
What's that?
The Ark in Space.
You know how I feel about that.
How do you feel about that? Tell
us. That's like my favorite Tom Baker arc.
Yeah, yeah. It's a great story. And just the set just reminded me totally of that. It's got a very classic sci-fi appearance to it with all the big clean white backgrounds and
yeah, things like that. I got a very 70s vibe.
Yeah. Well, I got a very 50s vibe from this one that we just watched. And like, it's just straight out of cheesy 50s sci-fi, oh, yeah. You know.
But, you know, I appreciate this about them. They've got some really good balance here. Right now we've only had one episode in space.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
And we balance so, but this next one, it looks like we're going back to space, or at least off. Let's say off Earth versus on Earth,
or future Earth.
Future Earth.
Yeah,
that could be interesting.
Yeah.
Where are we?
We're in hospital.
Nothing to worry about.
So what's that?
I've encountered it before. They kill.
It's going to kill us all, isn't it?
I'm trying to imagine the answer to the question. I can't quite see the solution.
It's called the Suranga Conundrum. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, but I'm pretty sure we'll find out with the next episode. The other thing I've noticed is that Chibnall really holds things close to his chest. Like these trailers that are being put out, they're averaging about 15 seconds. You know, we're not getting a lot of information, and I think that may be a smart move on his part. Because it doesn't give away any of the plot. It just gives you a taste, a flavor, and it makes you go, all right, let's see how we go.
Let's talk about the well, there's two things I want to bring up. What did you think about the that little hip-hop number that they worked in? That was that felt like markedly different than any other era of Doctor Who for me.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I enjoyed it. I had no complaints about it, though. I did see some people online going, why didn't she just use the bloody sonic sound vibration? You know, I suppose she could have, but you
know, this was way more fun.
Yeah,
I do wish that she would have said something afterwards, but you know, like on like to anticipate folks like us being like, why didn't she do this? Where she would have said something like kind of off to the side, being like, you know, this has got a better beat than the Sonic.
Yeah, that would have been funny. They could well have filmed it. It might have been cut out. Who knows?
Yep. I do feel like there's quite a few because, and this is a good segue into this, Jodie had some really good lines this time.
Yes, she did.
The quote about the, I don't recognize the author, which probably deadened the joke for me, but there was something about that. She said she made an observation about the little spider story.
Yes, let me look that up here.
There was also her doing small talk, which I loved and played back several times.
I've got some quotes here. Let me see. Okay. The Doctor muses that the spider mother in the ballroom could be the title of the best novel Edith Wharton never wrote.
There we go.
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty cool. She had a lot of good lines in this one. The Ed Sheeran one was worth a good laugh.
Yeah. I mean, those types of things, like, they were good. I'm just like, you know what I mean? Like, she still felt like a supporting character in her own show.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from. I'm not getting the same feeling that you are. But I'm going to keep that in mind for the next episode and see if I notice similar.
Yeah.
Similar action
going
on.
This may be because honestly, if you go back and watch it, this may be a very intentional choice.
It could be.
Like an extremely intentional choice that we don't quite understand why until we get to see the season, because we've said this before, and I think we can do this. We were worried that it was going to be so serialized in its storytelling that stacking up episodes wouldn't make sense. That's not the case. When we get to the end of this season, I feel like we will go back and want to revise where our ratings were, at least a little bit.
I was thinking about what you were talking about with the serialization and everything, and I think when I look at each season of New Who, I guess what I expect from them is a new and different flavor that feels comprehensive by the time you get to the final episode.
Yeah, which is episodic.
Right. And whether it's episodic or serialized or it has a long overarching plot or whatever the case may be, it depends how you feel at the end of the season. And in the last few, the best example I can talk of, a really bad example of that, was Stephen Moffat's Series 7, where they kept Amy and Rory on. They started with the Asylum of the Daleks, and they introduced Clara halfway through the season after Amy and Rory disappeared in New York. After New York, I should say. And it just didn't feel like a very comprehensive, solid season to me by the time we got to the end of it, until we got to the stuff about the name of the Doctor, the stuff that was leading into the Day of the Doctor, and which is, of course, an exception for the 50th anniversary. But I feel so far that with the four episodes we've seen, it's shaping up to be very, very much a very comprehensive episode, season.
We didn't, we don't know why. They never really mentioned or talked about, because look, I don't care how many chemicals that you produce in whatever labs experimenting, genetic or otherwise, with the, the DNA resequencer tech that they have. CRISPR. I can't remember the name.
CRISPR?
CRISPR. Yeah. With CRISPR technology, you're still not going to produce, enormous arachnids like this. So I'm guessing that it has something to do somewhere with something gone awry that we don't know about.
Yeah, and it doesn't need to be explained on screen as well. We just need we just need to know that there's giant spiders around the place, and the Doctor knows that something's screwed up and it needs to be fixed.
Yeah. Like, tiny things are trying to be changed all through time. There were never giant spiders. What was that about? There was no the Rosa Park activity. These things could all be connected, but they live within their own cohesive story. And I like that.
Yeah.
And I hope that, and I think that, yeah, you know what? Moffat, towards the end, could get a little carried away with it. So much so that it felt like you almost needed to watch them in big giant chunks to appreciate everything properly. These don't feel that way, which is good.
Yeah, yeah. It's still early days for Chris Chibnall, so, let's see how we go. Next week, after we watch that next episode, we're already halfway through the season.
It's true. We only get 10 this year.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's talk about, before we go through everything else, let's talk about that cinematography, which, again, to me was on point. I'd like to take, two things. The time space tunnels, like warp, that was so beautiful. Yeah, I love that. Yeah,
wonderful work. That's beautiful.
We've not really seen anything like that. I just really liked it. I liked the vision for it. I don't need it to be there every single time, but it was a nice peak.
You know, I remember the initial reaction I had was why do they need to change this? But then I realized every showrunner has changed what the travel of the TARDIS looks like in space and time.
Yeah.
And, after realizing that, I was fine with it, because
different spaces, different times.
Yeah. 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 Moffat did that. He changed it completely to be more like a cloudy kind of tunnel. Chibnall's is much more bright and ethereal and very strange, very alien. I'm liking it.
What did you think about the, that whole sequence with the hip hop beat? I love that. When they were kind of coming up and they were looking up through the drain, the spiders that were about to pop up, I thought that was really good. I thought that was great.
Mm.
Very classic horror.
Yeah, there was very classic horror sci-fi kind of stuff that they integrated into this. But I think what made it very different was the Doctor's compassion for life, no matter what it is. That's what set it apart from other movies and stories about ginormous spiders and insects and stuff like that.
Yeah, I did like that. I don't mind it coming back and forth, but again, that observation of you got to be careful with throwing in classic Doctor traits without having given me any characterization of the Doctor, because you run the risk of making it seem like Captain Planet is here.
Yeah.
But I didn't feel like in those moments that she said, where she said no guns and no killing, I didn't feel like it was forced, and I didn't feel like it was a Captain Planet moment. It's just when you look at everything from her in that episode.
Show me your panic room.
Looks like a bank vault.
My lockdown palace. I have one in every hotel, just in case it's needed. Not finished yet, but still.
What's in the boxes?
Food, water, entertainment system, a book. I could survive in here for 6 months if I needed to. And I've got a huge stash of weapons. Enough for all of us. Enough for 2 guns apiece.
Oh, mate, she's not gonna like that.
No, I'm not. You are not shooting those creatures.
Told you.
They're mutants.
Caused by you.
Your carcasses, lady, not mine.
Whatever happened, there are living, breathing organisms out there, and we treat them with dignity. So, here's what we're gonna do.
Shoot them!
We're not gonna shoot them!
What's wrong with you people? What is wrong with this country? Why don't you do what normal people do? Get a gun, shoot things like a civilized person.
Because I've got a much better idea.
Let me tell you about the guns. From my observations, looking at reactions at Reddit, mostly American viewers, and at Gallifrey Base, mostly UK viewers, it was mainly the American audience that had a problem with the anti-gun position, which is unsurprising to me.
And also hilarious, because that's literally like baked into the character.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like Batman and no guns.
Yeah. I've said it to a few people. They've had this kind of stuff in Doctor Who for as long as I've watched it, from when I was a little kid. So, you know, but you can't, you can't convince everyone. And why should you? Why should you have to change their mind? This is just for us to enjoy. And, you know, and if some fans didn't enjoy it, then that's okay. This is just not their episode. Maybe the next one's more their type.
Yeah. And it's, I honestly, like, I need to go back, and I wish I would have done this before the show, but I'll have it for next episode, the various instances just in New Who where I first recall each of the doctors boo-pooing the guns.
Yeah.
Like, I remember Matt Smith treating it like very matter-of-factly, like, oh, no, those are worse. They just make everything horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And just, like, moved on, and everybody's like, wait, really? And he, like, throws it away or something. This one was a little bit more dramatic, and it definitely hit harder, but I mean, we were watching, it's weird to say this, but it's like, at least in this country, gun violence feels like it's more in my face than it was even 5 years ago.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that. I mean, we had the shooting over the weekend on Saturday. Yeah. So, you know, at the synagogue in Philadelphia, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it's an ongoing issue over here. And there's always going to be that conflict between American fans and UK fans, because on the ground in their own countries, the situation is very much different. Everyone's got a completely different perspective on it. And the other thing is that here in the United States, we have this thing called the Second Amendment, which, you know, the UK doesn't have. And, you know, it's a very different social landscape. So, you know, it's always worth remembering that when you're watching the show, if this pops up again. So anyway, I've got a classic Doctor Who recommendation. If you're ready to move on.
Yeah.
This is going to be really obvious. Planet of the Spiders. Obvious, because we've got spiders in this episode. It is John Pertwee's final episode of Doctor Who. and Tom Baker's first appearance at the end of the episode, and it features the worst ever visual representation of regeneration ever put on screen. It's terrible. But the story is sound. The spider effects are, the spider effects are really bad. And they're funny to look at, but the story's pretty good. And, you know, John Pertwee puts in his best effort. Brigadier Lethbridge Stewart's in there, as is Sarah Jane Smith. So, you know, just in relation to the Arachnids, check out Planet of the Spiders. It's on DVD, Blu-ray, and I'm pretty sure you can find it somewhere streaming or on iTunes or somewhere else on the internet. You got a new Who recommendation, mate?
No, because I'm being horrible. But I will have two for next week.
Alrighty. Got a comment from one of the last episodes from Transmat Trev. Hi, guys. Great double whammy there. Even listening to the TARDIS reveal on your podcast gave me a lump in my throat. A fab reveal there by Chris. And about the negative Rosa comments, all I can say is, quote, Bob Marley, one love, one heart, let's get together and feel all right. It's ignorance, really. Case closed. Krasko will return, as we've been given a lot of relevant information, only to be finalized within the episode. Naomi thinks he'll return, but as far as a connection to the meddling monk, no. That will hark too far to the past, and Mr. Chibnall wants this season to be an all-inclusive beginning. I think Yaz's background will be explored when we visit the partition era of Indian history later on. I think you're absolutely right there, Trev. See, this is where we, See, this is where we have to be patient. But if it keeps us this momentum, looks like this season is going to be a goodie. And what fun! I am so enjoying this so far, and it seems to have got your juices flowing as well. Suggestion: if you're feeling a bit under the weather, Greg, pull the blinds and do a new season Whoathon, all three back to back. You'll not regret it. Stay brilliant. Well, I got to say, Trev, thank you so much for asking about my health again. I'm actually feeling much better today. We were able to record on time, and things look like they're improving for me, which is great. So thank you for your concern and for always leaving us a comment. And you can leave us a comment too if you go to geeksofdoom.com, look up this episode at the site. And if you have any thoughts about what we've discussed here, whether you agree, disagree, love, hate, whatever the case may be, we'd love to hear from you, because if the comment's good enough, we'll read it on air. And I think that's all we got. How about you, Tom? You got anything else?
No.
All right. Well, we're going to sign off right here. Thanks again, everyone, for hanging out with us here. We'll be back next week for the Saranga Conundrum. We're looking forward to it. It looks like a different episode, and we hope you enjoyed Arachnids in the UK as much as we did. Even though it doesn't get top marks, 8 out of 10, that's a great rating. We'll catch you next time. I'm Greg Davies.
I'm Tom Cherdar.
And we'll see you next time right here at Geeks of Doom.